Hey everyone, welcome back to the Banana Thumbnail Podcast, where we bring thumbnails to life to crush the competition. Today we've got something really cool to talk about. Absolutely. We're diving into why your Kling 2.6 motion control might be failing you and how to fix it. Right? And I know so many of you have experienced that moment of frustration when you upload a perfect reference video, hit generate, and what comes out looks like, well, a glitchy mess. Oh, totally. I mean, it's like seeing your character dance and then suddenly they look like they're melting into the floor. What's going on there?
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of it comes down to how you're setting up your inputs. Just like a car engine needs the right fuel, Kling 2.6 needs specific video references to perform well. So what exactly is Kling 2.6 doing? Great question. It's not just copying pixels. It's mapping skeletal movements from your reference video onto a new character. It's looking for clear, unobstructed movement. If your reference clip is messy, it gets confused, and that's when you see weird sliding feet and other glitches. Oh, wow. That's actually really interesting. So it sounds like the quality of the reference video is crucial here. Absolutely. I found out that even a little camera shake can throw the whole thing off. The AI interprets that shake as character movement, and suddenly, your character's vibrating across the screen. So, what's your pro tip for that? Treat your reference video like a blueprint. Always use a tripod for your source footage. If the blueprint is smudged, the building falls down. Okay, noted. But you also mentioned that some clips just don't work. What's the deal with that? Right, if you're using clips that are too short or too busy, you're bound for failure. Motion. Control requires reference videos between 3 to 30 seconds. If it's under 3 seconds, there's not enough data for the AI to latch onto. I see. So what happens if it's too long? Good catch. If it exceeds 30 seconds, the AI can lose track of the movement consistency. I did some tests myself when I used a 2-second clip. It was like my character was sliding around on ice. But when I switched to a solid 10-second clip with everything in frame, the traction was perfect. That makes total sense. So framing is crucial too, huh? Yes, very much so. If your subject walks behind an object or crosses their arms too tightly, the AI loses tracking. Think of it like losing a bolt in an engine. You know it's there, but you can't get to it. Wow, and speaking of tricky situations, I've heard some people have issues with their prompts not matching the video. Is that a common problem? Oh, for sure. You could have a great reference video, but if your text prompt is telling the AI to do something completely different, it's going to confuse the system. Like if. I uploaded a high-energy dance video but wrote a prompt that says, cinematic slow motion? Exactly. The AI will struggle to combine those two opposing styles, resulting in a character that looks like they're dancing underwater. So, the key takeaway here is to match your prompt's energy with the reference movement energy. Spot on. If your reference video is fast, use words like active or energetic. And keep your prompts simple when using heavy motion control. Over-describing the clothing or background can cause the AI to focus on pixels instead of the motion data. Ah, that's super helpful. Now, let's talk about another important aspect, audio. I've noticed lip sync issues with some outputs. How can we fix that?
Great observation.
If you're uploading a voice clip, it needs to be studio clean. Background noise or echo can throw off the lip sync engine. If you're using text to speech, the same rule applies. Be specific in your prompts. And if the clip is longer than 10 seconds, it tends to drift, right? Exactly. That's where the Digital Human 2.0 feature comes in handy. It creates a more stable result. I saw a cosmetics brand that switched to this workflow and their clicks increased significantly while also lowering their acquisition costs. That's impressive. So is the price tag for Kling 2.6 actually worth it? Alexly, yes, but only if you're smart about it. It's currently 50 inspiration, points for just a 5-second high-quality clip. That's a big jump from the previous version. Yikes, that's quite the price hike. It is, but if you stop wasting credits on bad attempts, it's worth it. The J-Dance studio saw their output rate jump from 60% to 92% by following strict reference clip guidelines. Jordan, wow, that's a huge improvement. So what's your step-by-step for ensuring success with Kling 2.6? Alex, first pick a simple reference video with a single subject and clear background. Trim it to about 5 seconds to fit the ideal billing cycle. Then write a prompt focusing on the action first, style second. And what about adjusting the settings? I usually crank the motion strength to about 0.8. If it's too high, it can distort the character. If it's too low, the character may ignore the video entirely. Wow, once you've dialed in that workflow, it seems like it becomes pretty magical. It really does. But you have to respect the mechanics because the system is unforgiving if you skip steps. And how does Kling 2.6 stack up against other tools out there? Alex, Kling 2.6 offers tighter adherence to reference footage, but it's less forgiving of poor quality inputs compared to some competitors. If you're willing to put in the prep work, the output quality is worth it. That's a solid takeaway. Thanks for sharing all this. My pleasure. So to wrap up, if you're using Kling 2.6, remember to focus on your reference video quality, match your prompts with the motion energy, and clean up your audio. Exactly. And don't forget, if you set it up right, the investment pays off in spades. That's a wrap for this episode of the Banana Thumbnail Podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you in the next one.